Okay, Parshas Emor, Tav Shin Pei. So we're kind of in the middle now, sandwiched between all the double parshios, Tazria Metzaira, Achrimas Kedoshim. Then you have little Emor, but it's not too little. It's got a lot of important topics, and we'll talk about them tonight, Mitz Hashem, and then Behar B'Choisai. So Emor is the single parsha there. It's just kind of by itself. And if you have to choose one word to describe the parsha, the word is Kedusha. Right, the parsha really talks about kedusha and different types of kedusha. We try to do a summary of the parsha before we start diving into some of the makaros. So just tonight's shiur should be a full shlema for everybody who needs it in Klal Yisrael and in the world. So Emor focuses on two types of kedusha, right? That and really three. You can kind of pack them all in, but specifically that of people, the kohanim, and that of time, the moadim. Right, those are the two major topics in the parsha. And it starts off by talking about the special halachos that pertain to the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, and the Beis HaMikdash, and that you can't be Tamei Meis, and be near a dead body except for a close relative, and talks about other halachos of the Kohanim, that they can't marry a Grusha, and the Kohen Gadol has to marry somebody who's a Basula, and all the various Kedusha Dikka halachos that pertain to the Kohanim. The Torah continues and it talks about the halacha of animals that need to be left with its mother for 7 days before it can be brought as a korban. And then the rest of the parsha, really after that, without going into too much detail, just high level, talks about the Moadim, and it brings in Shabbos first, which is something we'll talk about tonight. Why does it bring in Shabbos? If it's talking about the Moadim, Shabbos is in a Moed, Shabbos is Shabbos. And talks about Pesach, and Shin Sfiras Omer, and Shavuos. So we'll go through that, talk about Shoni Yom Kippur, and all the various Moadim. This is, we know most of these Psukim probably, we're very familiar with them. And we'll go through some ideas tonight, and see hopefully what lessons and messages we can glean, and make practical hopefully in our lives to grow as B'nai Torah and as Ovdei Hashem. So we start off, the parasha starts off, Perakuf Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Hopefully you can see the makaros in the PDF in the share screen. It says as follows: Vayomer Adonai Moshe Emor El Hakohanim Bnei Aaron VeAmarta Lehem LeNefesh Lo Yitama BeAmav. Hashem spoke to Moshe and he says, "Speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, let none of you defile himself for a dead person among his people." Right. Starts off with the Isser of a Kohen being Tamei Meis, that they can't go ahead and become impure, they can't come in contact with a mace. So Rashi picks up, famous Rashi, I don't like using the word famous in case people don't know it, because it makes someone feel like they should know it if it's famous. So maybe it's not famous, but it's a Rashi that's quoted pretty often on this week's Parsha. Emor el ha-kohanim, emor v'yamarta, lahazir gedoylem alaktanim. So Rashi picks up on the fact, and really quoting the Gemara in various places and the Chazals, that why does the Pasuk go ahead and have a double Lashon, Emor V'Amarta? It's to speak to the Kohanim and say to them. It could just say, tell the Kohanim, speak to the Kohanim. What's the purpose? So the double expression comes to admonish the adult Kohanim to be responsible for the Ketanim, that they must not contaminate them. And that's very interesting, right? Usually Ketanim, they're not Chayiv in Mitzvos. I mean, there's a Chayiv of Chinuch, but children, in general, unless they're gil chinuch, then there's a mitzvah of chinuch. But they're not chayiv in ases, lo tases. So, but tumas meis seems to be an exception to the rule. And the Chazal Darshanan Rashi quotes it, that emor v'yamarta is lahazir gedolim alaktanim, is to tell the Kohen fathers, the Kohen adults, that they shouldn't even be metamei their sons, their children who are ketanim. And that's a very interesting halacha, and we will dive into it now on a more of a drush level to understand what does that mean exactly. What's this teaching us? So Tiferes Shlomo in source number 3, just to start off the night with a nice nugget Chassidus Torah here. So he says, "Emor al kohanim zeh amar peirush v'ashi lazir agdolam al ketanim lizareis hatzadikim shebedor lahalois es haktani imahem ba'avodasam." What is Rashi? What is Chazal really telling us? That it's to go ahead. It's to tell the gedolim, to tell the tzaddikim of the door, who are the gedolim, that they need to lift up the ketanim with them in their avoda. You can't leave the ketanim behind. It's more a metaphor. It's teaching us a lesson in life that tzaddikim, gedolim, people are talmidei chachamim, and they can't just let the other people, the regular people in the world, just, you know, lag behind and not worry about them, not try to get them, not involved, not try to teach them Torah, not to bring them closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I actually remember for myself personally, I was once in a kolel in the summer, and okay, I could learn a little bit, I could read a Gemara, maybe, a little bit. And there was one guy in the kolel who was like a massive Talmud Chacham, and he didn't have an afternoon say to Chavruso, and I had the zechus of learning with him. He's one of the big Rosh Yeshiva's son, and he's older than me, and I learned with him for 3 hours in the afternoon every day. And I kind of felt bad because I'd slow him down and every, you know, a lot, but it was like, I felt like almost like this. Like there was a gadol there, like a massive Talmud Chacham, who's mamish taking me, a katan, under his wing to bring me along with him to be able to, you know, teach me. And the Tiferet Shlomo continues as well that it's this lenefesh lo yitameh ma'amav. What does that mean? What does the rest of the pasuk? How does that fit in that you can't become tameh nefesh? So Ritzon Eloimar shehakohen lo yitev yaniach shum nefesh miYisrael litma. That you can't even go ahead and let one nefesh meisrael become tamei. That's what it means. That you can't leave one person behind. You can't leave one Jew behind. You have to go ahead and try to bring them all in an appropriate way and in a proper way. But we need to, we're having achrayis towards one another. And that's how the Tiferet Shlomo understands the first pasuk. A nice drush, a nice chassidish nugget to start off the night. But Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 4 has a different way of understanding, and he's really two ideas on this pasuk, and we'll see, hopefully we could say over both. So Rav Moshe starts as follows. He says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe emor la kohanim. Teaches us some yisodos in life and yisodos in chinuch. Says Rav Moshe, Hine be'inyone halachos vidinim ne'mar betorah baruba deruba beloshon ve'idaber levad bimkomos mo'atim. Right? Many times when the Torah teaches halachos specifically, it uses the lashon of vayidaber. It says not vayomer, but vayidaber. Va'af bi Yoshua, even by Yoshua, shebechol makom ne'amar lo b'lashon vayomer, even though b'chol makom it says to him vayomer, right? It says to him many times vayomer, k'she ne'amar lo litein ari miklat ne'amar vayidaber. But when it tells him the dinim v'ari miklat, it uses the lashon then of vayidaber. Uchumafurash b'makos reish dafir aleph. D'amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina hatam ipnei shehin shel Torah. The dibor lashon azu. Right, we know dibor is a lashon az. It's a lashon of strength. It's a lashon kasha, as Rashi quotes elsewhere al Torah. Right, and v'im kain. Therefore, tzarich lahavin mashe parshazu l'dinei kohanim v'kudushasan ne'mar b'lashon vayomer. So says Rav Moshe, not so focused on the double lashon of Evan or Yamarta, but what's the lashon of Amir Bichlal? Why does it say Amar, the lashon shorish of Aleph Mem Reish? It should say Daber, Dalad Beis Reish, which is really the lashon that's used, Daber, of a lashon kasha when the Torah teaches halachos, and here's a very important halacha of a kohe not becoming Tamei Meis. So says Rav Moshe, V'nir Sheikar Inyan Kituna Kahuna V'kdushasam Hu Kidei Shehem Yu Maria Am. What is the Ikra Avoda of the Kohen? Do we have any Kohanim here? Any Kohanim? Okay, Aaron, you're a Kohen. Any others? Speak up now, otherwise you might lose your status. You gotta claim your status. Okay, we got Aaron. We got one Kohen. Right? What's your purpose? What's your Avoda in life, Aaron? So your Avoda is She Ikra Inyan Kahuna K'dushasam Hu Kidei Shehem Yu Maria Am. You're supposed to be a teacher for us. You're supposed to lead us. You're supposed to be an example, set an example for all of us. A big achrayis, a big responsibility. Right? The whole purpose of what the Kohanim do is for us, the Yisraelim and everyone else in Klal Yisrael, to watch them and to learn from them, to learn from their avoda, to learn from the Yirav, to learn from the Avos Hashem, to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehu mimashiro kohanim b'avodos, v'ayin b'rambam, he said, look at the Rambam, nechoshmita, okay, quotes the Shal kol shevet levi ne'mar yor mishpatecha v'ala ikr hu al kohanim, the real teaching of the mishpatecha is really the kohanim, v'achin. So here we go, this is remotion now, this is explanation. Av shelo kol adar v'lios b'kdusha shehein mashini nitosu lo kamadin b'shvil zeh. Even though it's not always easy to be Kohen, right? You have to go ahead and you have all these extra strict restrictions, these extra halachos that you need to live your life by. And now marrying by Parsha, which come up in our Parsha, who you can marry, you can't marry, Tamei Meisom, various halachos, and there's big responsibilities that are involved. Should Tzarech Lios Zahir Harbe Ba'achilasa V'chol Ha'an Ha'gasa, to be careful how you eat, what you eat. Amatar Kan V'loshen V'yomer Shehu Loshon Nayach V'kal. The Loshon of V'yomer, it's specific here to teach us that it needs to be, it's teaching us the lesson that this all has to be kal. It all has to be done in a light way, in an easy way. What does that mean? V'rakshi Yeda HaKohen Shemechuk Inyan HaGadol La'avod B'veis HaMikdash V'lumel L'vnei Yisrael Taras Hashem, that because of the great avoda that they have in the Beis HaMikdash, to go ahead and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to teach Taras Hashem, Tzarech Shiyeh La'av Kol HaDvarin Kedvar Kama'od. They need to accept it upon themselves as something that's easy to do. They can't treat it with an attitude of it's hard for me to do this. It's difficult to be a Kohen. It's too much. No. Vayomer. It needs to be kal. Okay, right, the Gemara says this is Yiras Hashem, Milsa Zutrasa, he's a small thing to have Yiras Hashem. But Teretz, in the Gavi Moshe, Milsa Zutrasa, in the Gavi Moshe, Milsa Zutrasa. Yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu, having Yiras Hashem is a small thing. Everything that's told to the Kohanim, all the extra restrictions, all the extra mitzvahs that they have, which might be things that they think are limiting them, really, they need to have an attitude of these are easy for me. These are good for me. Because their avoda is so great. And if it's not going to be easy for them, then they're not fitting really for the kahuna. They need to go ahead and take it that way. It says as follows. Anybody who's involved in chinuch l'mitat Torah, even I don't know. I don't think any of us in the chat are in this shir right now are mechanchim. Maybe you are on the side. I don't know. Or maybe you are full time. And I don't know. But we all teach our children. We all teach other people. So we're all mechanchim in a certain way. Asher vada yadu lekol kama dvarim kashim ma'od yesh ba'avodas hakodesh hazeh mitzad etzem atamidim v'imhalimudim. It's very hard to be mechanich. It's very hard to be a teacher. It's very hard to be a parent. As the parents who are home now, with kids who are home, children or older kids who are in the house, it's not easy to be around, to go ahead and to teach your kids all the time. It's easier sometimes to be separated and for them to be in school and let the teachers do their job. I don't have to do it. But says Moshe Harbi Pam Gamitzar Ahirim Mikomakum Tzarech. Oh, he quotes himself that even the parents Mikomakum Tzarech Kolecha Mehem the Kavod the Ahav of the Simcha Kamoshu Udaver Nayach the Kav. You need to accept it upon yourself as it's something easy. It's something that's not hard to do. Rak Mitzad Godal Inin Shoyisav Im Eino Udaver Kalafanav Yaiser Tov Shlo Yasak Bechinach Kiner Raylaza. And Moshe answers, this is not a Tshuva Halach LaMaisa, but he basically ends off in his Gemara like this, and I think Chagiga or somewhere that says that if it's not going to be something that's easy for you to do, then you shouldn't be a mechanech, right? Im Eino Udaver Kalafanav Yaiser Tov Shlo Yasak Bechinach Kiner Raylaza. If you're not going to be able to make it seem easy, and everyone's going to be able to read the letters on your face, people, children, students. Right, they pick up on things more than adults can probably pick up on things. They know how we feel about it. They know our attitude. They could see our facial expressions and the way that our body language communicates how we feel about teaching them. And so this is what the lesson of the Kohanim is teaching us. The Torah is teaching us emor. The Kohanim have these restrictions, but the Kohanim have to accept it upon themselves. They're the ultimate teacher. They're the Moira. They're the ultimate Moira. They're the Rebbe Aaron. You're the Rebbe Aaron. Rebbe Aaron. You're the Rebbe Aaron. You have to go ahead and you're supposed to be the example for everybody else. And so it has to look like you're excited about it. You're happy about it. It's easy for you to do. You want to do it. And that's, Rav Moshe explaining the Lashon of Emor. And he has another explanation here on Emor V'Amarta. And we'll just say it over. It's not so long. It's just paragraphs. We'll just say it and then we'll move on to another idea. But he says, Emor V'Amarta, Lahazir Gedolim Alaktanim, Lachur Gam V'Amarta Harihu Lagdolim. How did Chazal know that Emma V'Amarta is the Hazir Gedolim Laktanim, right? They're really both for Gedolim. L'chor Gam V'Amarta Hari Hu L'Gedolim. V'nir Shel Hazir L'Chanech Habanim V'Abanos. He gives a here Yisod and Chinuch as well. That when a person, it's a warning for when a person has to be Mechanech, boys and girls. Eino Klum Ma She'Yomru Lahem She'Kein Tzarech Lasos. It means nothing to tell your kid what to do. And we all know that. Tell your kid, go get dressed and go to shul. Put your tzitzis on. They don't listen. You can't just command them and tell them, do this and do that. In lo yiru shehu davar chavim ma'ula aviv, unless they see that this is something very important, very special to the father. Shem yishmem aviv shehaya Lo nisyonis gedol makay mitzvah Shabbos yontov v'chol mitzvahs. Because if the children hear it, remember Moshe, the door that he was speaking to, right, decades and decades ago, after the war, people who immigrated from America, to America. So if they just the children hear the nisyonis that the parents went through to go ahead and to keep Shabbos and to keep yontov and to perform mitzvahs. And you just have to go ahead and, you know, deal with the tests as they come. The children are not going to be mechanech from this. They're not going to learn. The yomer, the heim einam gurin kamaisa. They're going to say they're not as strong as you. They can't do it. They can't go ahead and be victorious like the fathers were. Shehu chiyuvo chayenu v'erech yameinu ki hem shehu chayenu v'erech yameinu az yischanchu b'toiv. But when the children see the fathers and hear them talk about it and watch them go ahead and love doing mitzvos and enjoy doing mitzvos and do mitzvos with a passion, then that is what is mechanech the children, because Torah is our life. Torah is the length of our days. So why both Amiras Emav Yamarta, Echem Le'etzar Isser V'Chiyiv, want to go ahead and teach the Isser and the Chiyiv. Usheni Shiyeh Chaviv. The first one is to teach the mitzvah of Tamei Meis, right? The Isser and the Chiyiv, the obligation you need to Tamei Meis. What's V'Yamarta? It's to teach the Chibuv mitzvah that needs to be there as well, the Chaviv. The fact that it needs to be Chaviv for the Kohanim, the fathers. Umizeh Yischanchu, and that's how you're going to teach your children. Only by having both amiros, not just doing it and having the tzivoy and the iser and telling your children you have a tzivoy and iser, but also the viamarta, also the lashon racha, as he quotes in the beginning, and the chibuv hamitzvah, the chavivus for the mitzvah. Then through that, the viamarta, you'll be able to be mechanich the children, and that's what the Torah is driving at over here. Beautiful ideas to start off by Rav Moshe. So if we look in source number 5, we have a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is in this week's parasha. All right? Perek Kaf Beis Lamed Beis tells us as follows: V'lo chalu Hashem kodshi v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mekadeshchem. Tells that you shouldn't go ahead and desecrate Hashem's name. Right? You should sanctify Hashem's name amongst b'nei Yisrael. I am Hashem. So it's interesting, right? The Gemara talks about v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Where do we learn it out from? Toch from the Meraglim. It's interesting we learn out the concept of davar shel kedusha and the concept of going ahead and having of 10 people from this as well, that you need to have 10 people for a davar shel kedusha. Learned out from the very surprisingly the Meraglim. Perhaps, you know, you could say it's to teach us that the Meraglim, right, they, that you can learn something from even things that are not good experiences. There's always a spark of holiness in even a chait, right, that we can learn, the whole din of, it's amazing to think about it, of a minion, which unfortunately we're not able to partake in right now, but that whole concept of davening with a minion and having 10 people and being Mekadei Shem Hashem in that way, and Davar Shel Kedusha is learned out from the Meraglim. The Meraglim did it, and so you could say it two ways. You could say the Meraglim did it and they were Mechal Hashem Hashem. So we are Mesaking that Mekadei Shem Hashem every time we daven. Or you could say even from the Meraglim who did a Chet, and the Chet of Meraglim is something that haunts us forever. It's something we can learn from and in a positive way. And we could take out good from the bad. Every bad in life has something good in it too. There is no bad. It's all good. We just have to find the good in it. So that's a little side point, a little tangent. But if you look in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, so actually, this isn't the Rambam of the Sefer HaMitzvos. First, I put in the Rambam of the Sefer HaMitzvos, then I took him out. It's actually a mitzvah ase, mitzvah tes, and he talks about the dinim of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And it's interesting that the Rambam's order of mitzvos as well is pretty mysterious, but it's pretty clear in that the beginning of the Rambam of the Sefer HaMitzvos is going in an order of probably what he felt is the most important, talking about Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem is right up there. It's number 9. So nobody really, I don't think, you know, I'm sure there's some maybe thesis people write on this in doctorate school and stuff, but, and I'm sure there's Svarim, Mechaber Svarim that write on the why the Rambam chose the order that he did, and the Chinuch is much easier to understand, he goes by the Parsha, But the Rambam did that, and he put the mitzvah Kiddush Hashem in number 9. But in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, in the Mishnah Torah, Perkei Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says as follows, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh Shenemar Mikdash Misoch Bnei Yisrael. And the Rambam says, what is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? It's not what you're taught in 8th grade when you go on your trip to Boston or to Florida, and they tell you, make sure not to make a big scene, and don't do anything in public that would embarrass us. It's a Chil Hashem. Instead, smile at people, wave and say thank you. That's a Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam says, no, that's not what the Rambam says in the beginning of the Halacha and a Mitzvah test. Rambam says that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is that when somebody takes a gun to you and tells you against your will to go ahead and do these mitzvahs in the Torah, don't do this mitzvahs or to do it on Lo Taseh, whatever it is, or I'll kill you. Right, you should violate the mitzvah and be killed because the Torah tells us v'chai b'hem, v'shalo yamas b'hem, which we spoke about recently in last week's parasha, v'chai b'hem, v'shalo yamas b'hem, v'yemesh v'lo'avar harizim v'chai b'nafsho. Right, so that's the din of the Rambam that he talks about there, and then he speaks about the next halacha, halacha beis, I think, in Gimel about the three mitzvahs that you are. Yarav Yal Yavor for Shvichas Damin Gilar Yos and Avodas Kochavim, but the Rambam in the end does bring in the concept that you're taught in 8th grade. So the Rambam at the end, or maybe 5th grade, hopefully even younger, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perkei Halacha Yud Aleph, says, V'yesh Dvar Machem Shein Bechlal Chil Hashem. He says, there are other things that are involved in Chil Hashem. V'yishiyaso Osam Adam Gadol B'Torah Mefursam B'Chasidus Dvarim Shehabrios Miranim Acharev B'Shvilom V'yafa Pisha'inan Averos. So he gives some examples. Some things, even that aren't a virus, can be a chil Hashem. Shalakach ve'ino nosein d'mei hamekach la'alter. Right? You go ahead and I guess you bought something and you didn't pay immediately. That's pretty harsh there, right? It's not a problem per se to go ahead and to eat with amei haaretz or that's just whatever, people who are not gonna, you know, have the best influence on you and they're gonna be a bad influence on you in various ways, whether they're Jewish or not, but to go ahead and spend time with them and to eat with them and drink with them and have a good time, right? That's no iser per se to go out for a meal but maybe it's a chil Hashem. Oshe diburo im habrios ino benachas. You don't speak to people nicely. You talk harshly. You talk angrily. You don't speak with, like a mensch. You don't accept people with a pleasing way in a nice manner. Rather, you're an angry person. And he goes ahead and says, these are all ways of being mechal shem shemayim. And what I really wanted to bring out from this Rambam, and right, mechal shem shemayim is the opposite, is doing the things that would go ahead and act and sanctify Hashem's name, that this is how a person acts, and being a mensch, and speaking nicely, and eating with people who are talmidei chachamim, and being mishamish them, and we're learning from them. So all those wonderful things. And what's interesting is I wanted to bring down Nesiva Shalom here. So Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, he quotes the Rambam, and he says that the Rambam is Mona, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. It's a long piece. This is just a little part of it. He says, why does he bring it down to Yisodei HaTorah? If it's really just a mitzvah about not giving up your life for somebody who takes a gun to your head, well, most of us, Baruch Hashem, don't encounter that kind of situation. Most of us don't have to deal with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem in that way. We never, you know, we should never have to deal with that. And the Jews in the past who have had to, it's, if you look at the number or percentage wise of Jews, I don't know it, but at least in our door, you know, it's uncommon. It doesn't happen that the people put a gun to your head and tell you to do this mitzvah or not to this mitzvah. So he says as follows, why then is it in the middle of Yisodei HaTorah? Why is it with Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem and mitzvah tests? If it's just about going ahead and, you know, and dying or not dying for a mitzvah, so, and all those pratim involved, why is it smack in the middle of Yisodei HaTorah? So he says as follows, mitzvahs v'nekdashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael ki lo rak ba'ofen she'akum ansalav ad avera. It's not just about an akum, about a non-Jew who forces you to be over an avera. El zetafkid kloli she'yehudi l'kadis Hashem b'melchama hatmidis negesheresh hara hanimtza bo It's more than that. It's much more than that. It's a constant avoda. It's a constant job of a Jew to kaddish Hashem in the war that we face all the time against the Shoresh Hara, alluding to the Yetzirah. Hanimtza bo hamoshcho tamid lasos neged ritzon Hashem. The Yetzirah, which is constantly trying to get us to go ahead and not serve Hashem and to do averus and to commit averus, that is also included in the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Shkemo shekasav od Rambam kol aparish me'avero asa mitzvah lo b'nei davar ba'olam lo pachad v'lo yira v'lo levakish kavod el b'nei baruch baruchu. That if a person just does a mitzvah l'shem shemayim with no ulterior motives, like Yosef atzadik atzma meishes rabbo from eishes Potifar, harezim mekadish es Hashem. That's a kiddush Hashem. According to the Nesivah Shalom, it's a kiddush. You can make a kiddush Hashem in your house. You don't have to be amongst other people. You could make it in your bedroom when you're alone. You can make it in your kitchen when no one's watching you eat. You're mekadesh shem shemayim, but you have a taiva to go ahead and do something and you don't do it. That's a kiddush Hashem. You go ahead and you're miskaber in your yetzahara. That's a form of kiddush Hashem according to the way Nesivah Shalom explains. And he says that Yosef HaTzadik, right? We know he's the ultimate, Tzaddik, and he's the ultimate person that is, he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. He wasn't Mechal Shem Hashem. No one was around. No one was there. So I think he's, using that as a raya. He says, and it's not just by mitzvah similar to the Rambam. It's not just by mitzvah and averus and mefurashos who came. Ela kol chayv sheyehudei hem melchamer b'tzufa keneged koach hara, as the Mesilas Yisharim says, v'hinei shma shakadosh baruch hu la'adu b'makom shirabim merachakim osev v'anis baruch v'hem hem ha'otayvas ha'chamuras. Shem says that the entire life is a war, right? Every single thing a person has is a challenge in a certain way. But take Rav Moshe's idea, it can't act like it's a challenge, but it is a challenge, right? Shem says, a person's rich, that's one nisayon. A person's poor, it's a different nisayon, but it's a nisayon. It's an insight either way. Person is peace and quiet, and there's no coronavirus, and people are going around their lives like, there's no issues. Okay, so they have the challenge of not forgetting the Avodas Hashem. And when you have coronavirus, you have challenges. You have a war, Chas V'Shalom. You have challenges of emuna, and you have challenges of dealing with all the problems going on because of them. So it's a constant battle on coming at you in all directions. Life is not easy. Life is nishpash. As the pasuk says, "Adam lama yulad." We're here to work. We're here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a piece of cake. It's not a breeze. And the Nesivah Shalom explains that that's really a form of kiddush Hashem as well. That being misgaber on the Yetzirah is one form of kiddush Hashem, and you're bringing mekayim mitzvah by doing so. And that's why the Rambam brings it down in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, and in the middle of talking about Hilchos Halachos, the mitzvahs of Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and the really mitzvahs that are constant, that are tmidis. So this also a mitzvah, if you explain it this way, is a mitzvah that's tmidius. So it's a drush on the Rambam, but it's taking the end of the Rambam where he talks about Kiddush Hashem in this way and explaining it in another level. A beautiful idea from the Nesivah Shalom. So now moving on towards the end of the parsha, you have the Mo'adim. So we have the beginning of the parsha's Mo'adim, Perikov Gimel. Sukkim says as follows: Vayidaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Beis Dabir Ovan Esau Ve'Amar Talihem Oadei Adonai Asher Tikro Som Mikrei Kodesh Eilehem Oadai Sheish Es Yavim Te'asim Melocha V'Yom Asher Shavas Shavas On Mikra Kodesh Kom Melocha Lo Sasu Shavas Hidin Adonai B'Chol Moshe V'Seichem. Hashem tells Moshe to go ahead and to speak to Bnei Yisrael and tell them about the Mo'adim, which should be a calling of holiness, and these are them. And it talks about Shabbos, 6 days you should do work, you should do Melocha, and the seventh day you should have Shabbos, Shavas, and you should rest. It's a mikra kodesh, ko malacha, you shouldn't do any malacha. It's a Shabbos here in all your places of dwelling. Says Rashi, Rashi says that, what's this doing here? Ma'anin Shabbos eitzel ma'adas, right? Ma'anin shmita eitzel har Sinai. We're almost there. So what is Shabbos doing next to the ma'ados? This is, out of place. Shabbos is in a moed. Says Rashi, lamdecha shakola machalos ma'ados ma'alin alav kilu chilil es hashabasos. Because it's to teach us that anyone who's mechalel the moed, the Torah treats it like you're a mechalel every Shabbos. V'chol mekayimes moados, and if you treat the moadim properly, you treat Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, literally the moadim properly, then ma'alon alav ki'ilu ki'im es ha'shabbosos. Then you're treated as if, you did well on Shabbos too, you observe Shabbos properly. What is Rashi telling us? What does it mean exactly? The moed is the litmus test for how one goes ahead and whether, you know, and either observe Shabbos properly or not. Why? Why is the moed in the example that Hashem will use, the Torah will use, to go ahead and demonstrate whether or not you are on a regular every week basis, keeping Shabbos properly and celebrating Shabbos properly or not? So we have a couple of different ideas here. Start off with the Yam Simcha of Bernard Weinberger. So in source number 11 says the Yam Simcha. Yam Ashvi Shabbos Shabbos Mikra Kodesh Eilam Hashem Kodesh Hashem Chalev. Ches of Rashi quotes the Tars Kohanim and he quotes the entire Rashi. Okay. V'hikshua Olam Ma Sheiches, right? Ma Sheiches, he'll say, what is the connection? What does one have to do with the other? V'yesh li Asheva Pi Ma Shepirish Ha Habina Li Itim, I think is Sefer as Apostle Tehillim. Ki ekach moed ani meshirim eshpot. Right, the pasuk that says in Tehillim, ki ekach moed, I will take a moed, and that I will go ahead and judge meshirim eshpot, that I will judge it straight. The zekai al yemei moed. This is talking about the momadim, the holidays. Dina im shalu ha'adam biyavo b'mishpat. Al asher lo esik batar b'yemos achol. Because if someone comes over to Chaim Be'ash and says, hey Chaim, you know, you should be learning more Torah. Why don't you learn more Torah during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What's going on? What do I sell them? Humeshiv ki haya Torah mechiyav al kolkola. Listen, I'm an accountant. I'm a busy guy. I have busy season. That we have that in our careers. Everybody else stole it from us when they're busy too. But I don't know why accountants are a busy season and nobody else. Everyone has a busy season. Everyone's busy all the time. But accountants, for some reason, we got the term because I guess there's certain months of year we work really hard and we're busy, and certain months of year where we sleep and don't do any work. So I'm busy. What do you want me to do? I have tax returns to do all day. I'm planning. I have tax analysis to do. I don't have time to learn. I have to make money to support my family and put food on the table. I don't have time to learn properly, to go ahead and to learn as I should, as necessary. But if Yontif comes along, and I'm panay mitirda parnasa, and I don't have the excuse of parnasa, the afal pikein who yoshev batov ein osik batara, but nevertheless I take a 4-hour nap, a 5-hour nap the whole afternoon, and mamish waste away my yontif. Hareza mochiach ki lo machmas tirda parnasa nisrash mesek atari masachol. It's a raya. It shows that really, it's not that the excuse that I have to make a parnasa during the week is why I'm not learning isn't really a valid excuse. It's not true. I wouldn't learn anyway, even if I was home all day and I didn't have a job and I was able to learn all day. I wouldn't, because that's not what I do on Yontif. It testifies to how a person goes ahead and acts and would act in his spare time if he had more. That the way, and this explains the pasuk, how the way that a person acts on the moadim has shofet kol haaretz yaseh mishpat. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's going to be what's going to show how a person really, is going to be his judgment as to how he acts. Sodek al hanaga sa'adam kol hashana. It's going to go ahead and be tzodek then for the rest of the year. So he says as follows: V'yesh lahoisif de may has his nahagus ha'adam b'moed yehu chachal yom haShabbos gamkein. Says Rabbanad Weinberger that this explains the Rashi. So the way a person acts on a moed can also go ahead and be a proof of how a person would act on Shabbos. The afa pi de nitna Shabbos lasok b'Torah, even though Shabbos was given, why, for us to learn Torah, kedi tibereshes rabo the kenes Yisrael havia hazuk shel Shabbos, that we know the Shabbos didn't have a partner. All the other days did. So we're the partner of Shabbos. The Cheni Itim Rishama Shabbos. The Shabbos is Yontan. El Asik Torah. As Mefurish Gemara and Yishalmi. That the whole purpose of giving a Shabbos is to learn Torah. Vayein Prisha Arachayim. Da Monehi. Divnei So Yask Torah. Shabbos Vayein Torsham. The whole Shabbos is all about your person to have time to learn Torah, to focus on Ruchnis, to get closer to Hashem. We're busy all week. Shabbos is time to plug in, to reconnect, to spend time learning, to get closer to the Eibishter. So he says as follows: Aval Yeshen Yin Shal Shena B'Shabbos Tainuk. There's another, but there's a concept, right? Shabbos stands for Shena B'Shabbos Tainuk. Shin Beis Tef, tough, right? That's what Shabbos is. You're supposed to take a nap. You're supposed to rest. You're supposed to chill. You're supposed to take it easy. Enjoy. Kedi to be Yakud Ruveni. It's a real thing. It's brought down. Right? And the Torah can the Al Yevata, nevertheless the Torah says, Al Yevata Mishena Sarayim im Oneg Hulo, you shouldn't be Mevata your nap in the afternoon, if it's an Oneg. Wow, I never knew that Torah before. It's an awesome Torah. You shouldn't go ahead and be Mevata your Shabbos nap. Unless your wife needs you. Aval Amaisa Roin de Oichzim Had, can't see that word so clearly. Hatevel Ktas Umekaimim Vahashana Mishubeches. Vayain, Bishari Tshuva, okay, quotes Rabbi Yona, and Shalshas, it says as follows. Chazinon concludes. Diyesh Eza Heicha Timtze Shal Yasek Belimod, Kedabai B'Shabbos Kodesh Mishum, Shiyagim V'ayefim M'chol Kol Shavua. Shabbos comes around, we're exhausted from the week, so now we have the excuse during the week that we're busy making parnasa, and we have the excuse on Shabbos that we're tired from working so hard all week. We can't learn Torah, we can't go ahead and spend time, you know, learning properly. Avak Shabbat Yontov, the Ishman Yose Lasak Batorah. When you have Yontif and you have time to learn Torah, especially a 3-day Yontif, or with Prat Bimei Cholamoid, especially in Cholamoid when you're not working, hopefully. The Az Im Ha'adam Oisik Batorah Kedabai Zeyeh Chachal Shabbosus Gamkein the Mashal Asak Shabbos Kodesh Batorah Kedabai Haya Gamkein Begeder Onus. Right, then it will be a proof. It will testify. Yontif will show what does a person really want to do. What's his Shiratzon? If he learns when he's able to, then it shows that the times that he's Onus, he really is honest. He really wants to be learning and he can't. It's not just excuses. But if he doesn't learn when he's able to, then he goes ahead and he is showing that even the times when he has the excuses, they're all made up. It's not true. They're excuses, but they're not good. They're not just good justifications. V'zeo habir b'chol ha'makayim v'samalados klomar d'vizman panoi shalo osik batorah zehu hochacha sheba'emes rotsa l'kayim ha'shabasos gamkein kloma sherotsa l'asok batorah k'dabayi. And that's exactly what Rashi is telling us, that somebody who's mekayim the moed properly, it's a proof that he's mekayim all the shabbosos properly, because if he's mekayim the moed properly and he's learning Torah and he's spending his time in avodas Hashem and getting closer to Ribbono Shel Olam and not just being mevatelit and wasting it away and sleeping and, I don't know, sitting around and playing games and doing whatever else he's doing is wasting time. So then it's showing that on Shabbos, even when he doesn't learn, it's because he's tired and he's exhausted from the week. But if he had time to learn, he would, because he loves learning. And that's really what he wants to do. That's what we see from the Moed. So the Moed comes and saves Shabbos. And that's why the Moed here is brought down. And that's where Rashi says that the Moed is the litmus test and the example for whether you're mekayem Shabbos properly. Beautiful idea. Now with the coronavirus also, it's funny. I don't know. I find myself sometimes, I feel like every day goes by and I'm like, at the end of the day, when I lay down at night, how much more did I learn today than I would have if there was no coronavirus going on and I wasn't home all day and I was at work and had to travel? And the truth is, unfortunately, a lot of days I lay down and I'm like, I should have learned more today. I mean, it's a good thing to feel that way. But the day somehow is very busy at home when we're home. Our kids are home and, you know, a lot of us and if you're working, you're trying to balance parenting, working, teaching, and it's just not pashut. So of course, person should give himself a little slack and don't be hard on yourself. But the point of the Yom Simcha is really, what does a person do during his free time? What does he do when he's able to go ahead and do something on his own? What is his choice? Is it to watch something on Netflix? And if you do that to relax, okay, I'm not here to tell you it's good or bad or whatever. But binge watching? That's a new thing, right? Binge watching. Aaron, I don't know if you've heard of this term. Binge watching. It's, you watch like episode. Like, now you could do that. Back in the day, you had to wait like a week or something. Back in the day, they didn't have television. But then when they got television, you had to wait till the next episode came out. You had to wait a week and it was exciting. Now there's no excitement anymore. I mean, maybe for new things, I don't know. But the apps and everything and Netflix, and you just watch one episode and the next episode and you could sit there for like 6 hours watching, you know, 10 episodes if they're 40 minutes each or whatever, the math works out. Okay, that's mamish being mevatel's mind. But this is what the Yom Simcha tells us. So Rav Moshe here in source number 12 goes ahead and has a beautiful idea. We'll skip it just for time to get to the last few ideas. I don't want to make it go over too much. So the Nesiva Shalom as well, he quotes a separate idea. I could send out Makaris to anyone who wants it. Rabbi Aaron Parnas, I will definitely send it to you. But those are two beautiful ideas as well on it. And we'll just conclude, because we're in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, And the parsha talks about Tzvias HaOmer, so we have to talk about Tzvias HaOmer. We don't really have to, but it's a good thing to do. And it's very appropriate, and we're coming up to Shavuos as well. So, Pasuk talks about Tzvias HaOmer. Svartim lachem imrachas Shabbos miyom aviyachem es HaOmer etznufa sheo shabbasos tmios tiena. Ad mimrachas Shabbos ha-shvias tisbru chamisha yom v'ravtem mincho chadash al Adonai. So the Torah goes ahead and tells us you should count the Sfira, right? From the day after Shabbos, which we know Chazal tell us is really the second day of Pesach. The Tzedukim understood it as Shabbos itself. From the time that you bring the Omer as a korban, 7 weeks, that they should be Tamimos. And Tamimos complete has a lot of Joshua on it. What does Tamimos mean exactly? But that's what the Torah tells us, the mitzvah Sfira Omer. And the chinuch is very interesting, right? We know the Torah itself doesn't say anything in the Torah Shebichtav about counting up to Shavuos, which is Matan Torah. It's completely talking about it in the context of an agricultural type of counting. You bring the Omer and then you bring the Shtei Lechem, and it's all about the various crops and korbanos that you bring, and the concept that we're counting up to Matan Torah isn't in the Torah. It doesn't exist. But if you look in the Chinuch, source number 15, he says, Mishar Shia Mitzvah Al Tzad HaPshat, says the Chinuch, and it's a Shin Vav, which is a Mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, that the Shayrish of the Mitzvah is the Fisha Koli Karn Shei Yisrael Eina El HaTorah. The whole purpose of an Israel, our the reason for our existence is for the Torah. Ubnei HaTorah Nivru Shemayim Va'aretz V'Yisrael. Because for the Torah, right, the whole world was created. And Bnei Yisrael were created. And quotes, Imlo Marisi Yom HaValayla, that's why we left Mitzrayim. We didn't leave Mitzrayim to become free from Paro and to just do whatever we want. We left so we can accept the Torah upon ourselves. The Shlach says that the whole purpose of being in Mitzrayim, the Shlach Kodesh writes, is to go ahead and was to train us to have a mindset of being a vadim, of being a slave mentality, of listening to being subjugated by an adon. And obviously that was much worse and harsher to be a slave to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or a servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam is the greatest privilege in the world. But it was to go ahead and to get us to be ready to be able to do that. And that's why we needed to have a Golas Mitzrayim and to be Avodim Mitzrayim. But he says that's the whole purpose, is to really to get to Matan Torah. That's the purpose of everything, purpose of creation, the purpose of being Mitzrayim. So says the Chinuch over here, Nekein, ki hi kol ikarn she Yisrael, uvavir nigalu v'alu l'chol hagdola shalu eile, eleha v'nitztavinu limnos v'imachar es yontol shal Pesach, Ayom Nesinas HaTorah. Why do we count Svira? To count to Svira HaTorah. To count to Nesinas HaTorah. To count to Matan Torah. To count to Shavuos. It's a wild chinuch. I mean, the chinuch, it's a drush, and it's a Shari Shemitzvah. He has to, you know, he always comes up with ideas, but it doesn't talk about that in the Torah at all. So why doesn't it talk about it in the Torah? Why doesn't the Torah tell us that you should count Svira and count 49 days, and then the 50th day will be Shavuos, which is the day, you know, that Moshe went up to go ahead and to get the Luchos. Says the Kli Yakar as follows on the Torah. Kli Yakar explains, Simili Yom Matan Torah, ki HaTorah tzrich lios chadasha etzel ha'adam b'chol yom, ki ilu hayom kibla mehar Sinai. Umashalot says that the Matan Torah, right, the experience of Matan Torah, of accepting the Torah upon yourself, of a person going ahead and showing a ratzon and a desire to learn Torah, it needs to be each day as if they accept it from Har Sinai. Umashlo nisku b'Torah b'feirish ki yom zeh matan Torah. So why doesn't the Torah tell us that Shavuos is matan Torah? V'chelo niskar b'Torah b'feirish ki Rosh Hashanah hu yom adin. And why is it that the Torah, another, you know, answer, you get two for the price of one. Why is it that the Torah also doesn't call Rosh Hashanah yom adin? V'tam shnehem echad hu. There you go. Two for the price of one. The same answer for both questions. K'moshe kasafti chibure ol lo sefraim, she'amatan Torah lo rotza Hashem lahagbil yom yadua, lefi shetzarich ha'odam shia domilo b'chol yom v'yom, mikol yomos ha'shanar kilu ba'osa yom, kibla mei har Sinai. Says the Kli Yakar, that he explains that Matan Torah, Hashem didn't want to designate it to one day in the Torah. Because then people might think and might feel that day alone is designated and special and unique, and only that day do I have to go ahead and accept the Torah upon myself and focus on Torah and learn Torah. But the rest of the year, I don't need to be mekabel Torah like it was from Har Sinai every day of the year and to learn Torah properly. I'll save it for that holiday, that one holiday, Shavuos, when it comes along, because that's the Yom Matan Torah, if the Torah said so. But the Torah doesn't say so, because each and every day, there's no limit, there's no gvul for Matan Torah. And so the Kli Yakar explains that that's why it didn't go ahead and specify that Shavuos is Yom Matan Torah and that we're counting up in Sfira to Matan Torah, because it would limit what Matan Torah is. It would limit the experience, it would limit what it's about to that, just that 49-day period of counting and then that one day that we get to. And really, it should be in the Lashon of the Kli Yakar, the Chol Yom Vayom Mikol Yomos HaShana Kilu Bo Yosom Oso Yom Kibla Mehar Sinai. Every Jew should feel as if they mamish received the Torah Har Sinai each and every single day. And it's something we can take with us, you know, something we can really, the amount we're learning each day, it's great. But before we learn, to just think about that for a second. Mamish Hashem gave Klai Yisrael Torah and all the Neshamos Nishmas Yisrael was there. We were there in some way, shape, or form, not physically, but we were there, Chazal say, all Klai Yisrael were there. And so when we are learning Torah, it's mamish, like we're Mekabel Torah from Har Sinai each and every day, in each and every time we learn Torah, and that's why it's not mentioned on Shavuos specifically, or Sfira leading up to Shavuos. Okay, Shkoyach everyone on joining, and everyone should have a wonderful, awesome, beautiful Shabbos.